Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
We just got back yesterday from spending some time with our family in San Diego. While we were there, I was able to teach my nephew, you can put his picture up there. There he is, Moses Espinoza. My sister-in-law's son. We were all eating lunch, and the lunch we went to various spots and all met at the same table. And some folks, like my daughter, her food came out first. Ours came out later. So by the time my daughter and my niece had finished their food, they were ready for dessert. And so they decided to go to Ben and Jerry's to get some ice cream. And so as soon as they said the word ice cream, Moses' ears peeked up, and he was like, I want ice cream too. And so he's 9 years old, and he was still eating his lunch. And so his grandmother, my mother-in-law, said, hey, eat your lunch first before you get ice cream. To which he responded, I want ice cream now. And then being the uncle that I am, I proceeded to give him a sermon on delayed gratification, which I think every parent needs to teach their child about delayed gratification. Amen? And so I went and began to tell him about delayed gratification and how often you will do things that you don't want to do right now so you can do something you really want to do later, or you do something few people want to do right now so that you can enjoy something that everyone wants to enjoy later. I call it discipline or delayed gratification. And I told him about this study, you probably heard about this, where there was a kid, a room full of children, and they had like some chocolate chip cookies, and they said, hey, if you wait 30 minutes, we will give you two chocolate chip cookies. But if you eat one now, you just get one. And they watched this hidden camera to see which kids would eat that one cookie and which kids would wait 30 minutes to get two cookies 30 minutes later. And what they did was they tracked these kids through their adult lives, through college, and into their careers. And they found out that the children who were able to practice delayed gratification were much more successful in life. And so I gave this whole lecture to this 9-year-old boy, Moses, my nephew, which I don't think he got any of it. But hopefully he did, because he did wait for the ice cream, and he got ice cream later. And here's what I want to look at today, that this thing called discipline is probably one of the key factors in leaders across the board, whether Christian or non-Christian. And so we're going to look at today 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 through 9, and into 10 a little bit as well. So if your Bible's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is a letter from Paul. This is one of the pastoral epistles. Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. Timothy grew up with a mom who's a Christian, a grandmother who's a Christian, but it looks like his dad was not a Christian and really absent from his life. And so Paul becomes both his surrogate father, but also a spiritual father. And he's writing to Timothy, who is a pastor at Ephesus. And he's just concluded saying that all this false doctrine is going to enter the church in verses 1 through 5. And so because of that, he encourages him to grow as a Christian leader. And this is the essential piece for all of us as Christian leaders who want to grow in our leadership. So here's a definition for leadership. If you have your notes, hold your finger in 1 Timothy 4. Leadership is influence. Leadership is influence. It's the ability to influence the decisions, attitudes, and emotions of others. So leadership is influence. It's the ability to influence the decisions, attitudes, and emotions of others. And we looked at 2 weeks ago that there are two types of leadership. There's positional leadership, which is when you have a position of authority. You're a CEO, superintendent, principal, manager, whatever it is. And the currency for that type of leadership is authority. Since I have authority over you, I can influence you. But the other one we looked at is permissional leadership. And permissional leadership is not based on position. It's based on the fact that you have a trust relationship with them. So here's number two. Leadership is influence, and trust is the currency of influence. Trust is the currency of influence. And again, you can have influence on those who are above you. You can have influence even if you don't have a position, if people trust you. And then trust is sourced in our character and competence, and I forgot this, and care. And we can grow in all three, but it takes discipline. That's what we're going to look at today, discipline. If we're going to grow in our character, our competence, and our care for people, it's going to take discipline. Discipline. And we're going to use an analogy of athletics. That's what Paul uses here. Look at verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith of the sound doctrine which you have been following. So Paul says, false teaching, verses 1 through 5. Good teaching. How do you grow in good teaching? How do you grow? He says in verse 6, you are constantly nourished on the words of the faith and the sound doctrine. So here's point number one, your diet. We don't grow as Christian leaders if we aren't constantly nourished by the word of God. You cannot grow as a leader. You cannot grow as a Christian if you are not constantly nourished on the word of God. That word there in the Greek literally means to fatten up, that word nourished. And it's a present participle, which means you're constantly being fattened up by the word of God. You're constantly being nourished on the word of God. And that's one tragedy I see in the church in America is biblical illiteracy and a lack of getting into the word of God on a regular basis. So if I can encourage you, I didn't do this in the first service. And so that's the great thing about coming to second service because I make some adjustments. Is develop some plan to get in the Bible regularly. And let me start with this encouragement. I would start with the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. It's the historical account written by a medical doctor about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And you can read a chapter a day and go through that. And this is what I pray is, God, I want you more. I want more. That's what Jesus says when he says, hear, hear, listen, listen. He really means, who wants it more? And you go to God and say, God, I want to grow more. I want you more. I desire and long for you. And so you have to get into the word of God daily, regularly, because he compares it to milk. He compares it to bread. Last month, June, and even in May, I went to the hospital every week to visit somebody who had just had a baby in our church. And now I've got a bunch of premarital appointments the next 2 months, and so we're probably going to have some more babies in 2 or 3 years as well. But I spent the last couple weeks and months going to the hospital, visiting these couples who've just had babies. Now, here's the thing. When they take their baby in for a one-month checkup, two-month checkup, right, they're hoping that maybe they're 27 inches when they're born. They'll grow to, is that right, 27 inches? That's too big? 19 or 20, I'm sorry, 19 or 20. 19 or 20. Anyway, if they're 19 or 20 and like 7 pounds. 7 pounds about right, right? 7 pounds, right, or so. But let's say 1 month later, 2 months later, they go back and they're still 19, 20 inches and they're still like 7 pounds. The first question the doctor is going to ask that couple, that mom or dad, is how often you've been feeding this kid, right? Amen? Because they know that in order for the baby to grow, it's got to suckle on the mom's milk. It's got to have nourishment from the mom's milk. We all know that, right? Same thing with my mom. My mom is battling multiple myeloma, and the doctors want her to get her body weight up. And so they weigh her every appointment, and if she's lost weight or stayed the same, the question they ask her is, have you been eating? And she'll say, yes. And they'll ask her what she's been eating and how often, right? Because doctors know there's a very simple formula. If you're going to grow, you've got to eat. And you know what? The same is true spiritually. If we're going to grow, we have to consume God's word. Constantly be nourished on the words of God. So if you're going to grow as a leader, number one, you've got to do that. So here's what you got to do. Have regular Bible reading, study, application, and memorization. Regular Bible reading, study, application, and memorization. You've got to get in the word of God regularly. And a good place to start would be the Gospel of Luke if you are just starting. So tomorrow morning, get up an extra 15 minutes early. Read a chapter from the Gospel of Luke and say, God, what is it you want me to do? All right, for those of you a little bit more, want to go to the next level, another thing you can do is to go through the one-year Bible. You can have it on your phone, the YouVersion, or buy a one-year Bible, and you can go through the entire Bible in 1 year in about 15 to 20 minutes a day. And I'm not saying to do it to just check off saying read the Bible, but you can go through it in 2 years if you read the Old Testament first, 1 year, and then you do New Testament the following year. But it's a way to get through the Word of God and really get it in you. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And up here, when I was praying for people, a lot of people said, hey, pray about my future. I need direction. And the Bible is the one that reveals the path ahead of us. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Are y'all with me? And for those of you who are praying, God, show me my future. Show me what you have for me. And you're not getting into God's word, You can pray all you want, but God says, I've given you light. I've given you a lamp. Amen? Years ago, I ran from Corpus Christi, Texas. From Austin to Corpus Christi. It used to be the longest relay race in America. So we ran from Austin, the capital, to Corpus Christi, the coast, and it's called the Capital Coast Relay, 273 miles. And I did it, I think, with like six other runners. So we ran like 6 to 10 mile legs every day, and we ran through the night as well. So it starts at 7 in the morning on Friday, ends whenever you finish on Saturday. And the two things that are required, if you're going to run in this race, you had to have a reflective vest and you had to have a headlamp, because we were running out in the middle of nowhere and there was no lighting at all, no street lights. And they said, you know what? You need a light to be a light unto your path and to light up where your feet are going, because we don't want you to trip and fall, break your arms or scrape your knee up, because you need to have light. And that's what the Bible is for us. So the first thing we need is the diet of constantly being nourished by the Word of God. Second is this, he says in verse 7, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women, old wives' tales. He says, all the stuff you're arguing about, this says New Living Translation, what does it matter? What does it matter? Like, who cares if LeBron and Anthony Davis are going to beat Kawhi and PG? Like, in the end of things, what does all that matter? He says, the things that you should be arguing about and really delving into is the Word of God. Right? He says, enough with the binge watching and all this stuff of the world. He says, that's not going to help you to grow. He says, focus on the things that are going to help you grow as a believer, as a leader. So he says this, on the other hand, discipline, that word discipline is the Greek word gymnazo, from which we get the English word gymnasium. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And they understood this because in those days, like today, they had gyms where people would go and work out. And they would go work out to work on their bodies, get lean and toned. A lot of times soldiers would go there to train for war. So they understood this concept of training. But he says, don't just train to work out. He says, train for the purpose of godliness. Verse 8, for bodily discipline, bodily gymnasium is only of little profit. Some translations say good. But godliness is profitable for all things, is greater since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Here's point number two. The exercise. We won't grow as Christian leaders if we aren't practicing spiritual disciplines. If we're not disciplined, if we're not practicing spiritual disciplines. You can desire it, you can pray for it, you can want it, but it's something you have to do. Write these three things down in your notes there. Number one is this, to have disciplined prayer and worship. Disciplined prayer and worship. A time in which you set aside time to pray to God, not just before meals, but a time to pray before with God, to pray and seek God and listen for His voice. And a time of worship, whether that's in the shower or driving or out working out, a time to worship God verbally and vocally. And you can also, I put this in the notes there, praying in community. You can also pray in community as well. So community groups, I encourage you, don't just study the Bible together, but maybe some groups get together and say, you know what, no Bible study today. We're just going to focus for an hour and a half on praying for one another and praying for our church. Number two is what I call disciplines of abstinence or withdrawing. So it's fasting, silence, and solitude. Fasting, silence, and solitude. So in a very gluttonous world, we say, you know what? I'm not going to eat so I can focus that time in praying and seeking God. You know what? In a very noisy world with social media and all kinds of distractions, I'm going to turn it all off and have silence and get away from people so I can hear from God. So to have disciplines of withdrawal, to pull away. And then lastly is this, to endure trials and learn from them. One of the ways that we grow is through trials. God becomes our gym coach, and He puts us through difficult workouts. And so to endure trials and learn from them. One thing that we don't do well is reflection. And so take time in solitude and silence to say, you know what? God, You've allowed me to go through this trial, or I'm going through this trial. What is the lesson in it for me? So to endure trials and learn from them. Here's the thing. I was just reading a book called Good to Great, the little monograph that comes with it. It's like 30 pages. Read it on a plane trip back home. And he talks about organizations, whether it's churches or corporations or schools, if they're going to have this what's called flywheel effect that built momentum. He says the first thing you need to have, the first stage is disciplined people. Disciplined people. So if we're going to grow as a church and do all that God's called us to do, we have to be disciplined. And here's the thing I forgot to mention. I think Christians should be the most disciplined people in the world. And this is why. Because God has given us His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us something, or fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So even when we don't feel like waking up a half an hour early to spend time in God's Word, God gives us the ability to do that. He even says in Timothy, it's a spirit of discipline. So we should be the most disciplined people in the world. So stage one is disciplined people. Number two is disciplined thought. Disciplined thought, things we think about. And then disciplined action, based on what we think about and dwell on, and strategies, disciplined action. And then number four is building the last, that any organization will continue to thrive and go as they have disciplined people who have disciplined thoughts, who have disciplined action, and they build something to last, to keep going. So here's the thing again. The diet is God's word, and the practice or the exercise, just like any athlete, any bodybuilder, if you're going to grow, you have to have both diet and exercise. If you're going to grow as a Christian and grow as a leader, you have to have both. I just had a good week with my daughter and my wife and my other daughter. And as you know, my daughter sprained her left ankle the day before the camp she went to. So she finally took off the boot. We began doing rehab because August 14th or 15th, she has a physical fitness test. So be on the volleyball team. She has to run like 200 meters in under like 26 seconds, 10 times in a row with like a minute rest or something. She has to do burpees and push-ups and all kinds of stuff. And so here's the thing. She's starting to do that now little by little to get in shape, because here's the thing. She can pray. She can desire it. She can want it. But come August 15th, the coach is going to know whether she's been working out or not. Amen? Is going to know, have you been putting the stuff that you've been learning into practice? And God says the same thing here. If we're going to grow, we've got to put it into practice. Look at verse 9. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. So bodily discipline, good. Discipline for the purpose of becoming more like Jesus Christ, great. Benefit for the life to come and this life as well. And here's what happens, and this is why discipline has become a bad word. Because we forget about the benefits. Is there anyone in here who's like debt-free, has like no debt at all? Any debt-free folks? Debt-free? I know there's folks in here who are debt-free. I know some folks. Everyone would love to be debt-free, to have that freedom. Amen? But they lack the discipline to say, you know what, we're not going to buy this now. We're going to pay this off now. So later on, we can enjoy being debt-free. Right? Everyone says, man, I would love to have boundless energy from 6 in the morning to like 9 at night. Love to have boundless energy. But if you say, all right, then stop eating this, stop drinking this, start working out, then like, oh, I don't know if I want it that bad. But here's what happens, is as we enjoy the benefits, as Paul talks about here, the benefits, the discipline becomes easier, y'all. As we enjoy the benefits of walking with Christ, of becoming more like Christ, it becomes easier. And that's why he says in verse 9, it's a trustworthy statement. It's accepted by everybody. And he says it 5 times in pastoral epistles. But here's the thing. Point number 3, let me wrap up here, is this. In verse 7, he says of the second part, on the other hand, discipline yourself for the sake of just doing the disciplines. Is that what he said? No, he says, on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. He says the reason why you study the Bible, the reason why you pray and fast, have reflection and solitude, is so that you become more like Christ. Verse 10, for is this, for we labor and strive because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who's the Savior of all men, especially of believers. He says it's a relationship. We're striving and seeking to know Him and become more like Him. That's why we discipline ourselves. Right now, I've got the opportunity to disciple a couple guys, and one of the guys I'm discipling, I'm doing his wedding here in a couple months. And so early on, I said, hey, you know what? If you're a husband one day, I gave him a couple things to do, a list of things to do. I said, one of the things you can do right now is pray. And for all the husbands in here about to be husbands, you can pray with your wife and your children every night. There's something very basic you can do, is every night pray with your wife and children. Go around, take prayer requests, but pray with your wife and children every night. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Secondly is this, is if you have the budget to have 2 cars, one for you and one for your wife, make sure that your wife's car is a nicer, newer car. All right? Make sure that your wife's car is a nicer, newer car, because if there's anybody who's going to be broke down in the middle of nowhere, you want it to be you, not your wife. Right? Amen? 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 And the third thing is this. I see all the wives like nudging their husbands and stuff. All right, babe, we'll go to the car dealer after this. All right, we'll go to the car dealer right after. That's right. Third thing is this, is to pray for your wife every day. Pray for your wife every day. So ask her, hey, how can I pray for you? And to pray for your wife every single day. All right, that's something that men can do, husbands can do. That's very simple and basic. Now, if I went up to this guy 2 years after he's been married, and I asked him this question, how's your marriage going? How's your marriage? How y'all doing? How's your marriage going? And he says to me, well, we pray every night. We, I pray for her. She drives a 2019, Nissan, and I drive a 1993 Chevelle, I'll say, I didn't ask you how you're doing on the check marks. I'm asking how you're doing in the relationship. Amen? And that's what's going on here. Paul says that we should discipline ourselves, gymnasium, not so that we can say, read the Bible, memorized the Bible, did this, went to church, gathered with his people, evangelized, prayed, fasted, solitude, did all that. He says the goal, the purpose is that you would grow closer to him and become more like Christ. Are y'all with me? So point number three is this, is remember the goal is not to practice the disciplines, but Christ's character and competence being seen in and through our lives. That's the goal. That's the goal. So here's a leadership principle today. You can go through the questions and applications in your community groups. Is if you want to grow physically or as a Christian leader, check your diet and exercise. If you, in your physical body, are experiencing things you're saying, why is this happening? Check your diet and exercise. If you don't have the energy levels, if you're gaining weight or whatever it is, check your diet and exercise. And if you are not growing and developing as a Christian leader, you may desire it, you may want it, is check your diet and exercise. Are you consuming God's word? Are you getting in the Bible regularly, applying it and learning it and memorizing it, putting it into practice? And are you practicing the disciplines of both engagement, like evangelism, and the ones of disengagement, like solitude and fasting? Are you putting those things into practice? So diet and exercise. Let me close with this. How many of y'all have a friend, maybe it's your grandmother, that whenever you are desperate for prayer, that person that you know can get a prayer through, right? Anybody have someone like that, that you know, I may email or text Pastor Ricky, I don't know if a prayer is going to get through, but I know if I email or text this person a prayer request, it's going to get through. You know people like that, right? So for me, it's this guy named Mike Shero. Mike Shero is that guy. Mike Shero is like a good friend of mine, accountability partner. And this is how Mike is different. Mike is one of the most disciplined people I know. And not like a discipline like army discipline, but just very disciplined in terms of his walk with the Lord. And so Mike was raised by his mom, and eventually she remarried, had a stepdad. But Mike, from an early age, trusted Christ and grew rapidly. He hungered and yearned for God's word. He said, this is how bad it was. Like most kids are like hiding under the blanket, like smoking pot or doing something like that. I would hide under my blanket at night with a light on, reading the Bible and theology commentaries as a young kid. That's what I would do. I would just read the Bible. And finally my mom, Michael, turn the light off. Okay, mom, sorry. I'm just reading the Bible, right? He said, that's what I would do. And then he ended up going to a Christian college in Chicago, Trinity International University. And this is what happened. He had both a fascination for business and also the Bible and ministry. And so he asked the school, can I double major? And I want to major in business, but also Bible and theology. And the school said there's only been one other person who's ever done that, even though they're two kind of different things, although they're very similar. They said it was a guy named Bill Hybels. You're the second student ever to do that here. So he graduated from Trinity National University with honors and began working for Walgreens, a drugstore company you see on every corner here in America. And he was on the fast track to be a vice president at Walgreens before the age of 30. So he's just an amazingly gifted leader. This is what happened. He said, here I am in a secular world working with all people who just want to make money and pharmaceutical companies. And he said, I want to give my life to something spiritual. So he quit that and began working for a church in San Antonio, one of the largest churches in San Antonio. And that's where we met. I began preaching in this church. We hit it off, became friends. He was the executive pastor at this church. But this is what happened to him. He says, we have to quit making this separation between secular and spiritual. Right? He says, because it's all spiritual. It all is. Right? Is this all God's world? Amen? And so he said, we got to quit doing that. And so in 2011, we began to do Bible study together. Our wives became friends, went to Love and Respect Bible study on DVD for our marriages. And Mike said, hey, let's begin praying together, fasting together. So me, Mike, and this guy, Curtis, began fasting and praying and seeking God together. Curtis became a director with IMPACT, the wing of ministry reaching out to African American students or students of African descent. And then I came to Cedar Refuge. And Mike became the director, associate chair for a group called C12. Now, C12 is a ministry that believes that corporate America is the largest mission field in America. And so they want to equip CEOs and leaders to reach people in their workforce. So he became the associate chair for San Antonio and Austin. And I remember getting text messages, hey, pray for me. We just took on 20 new companies. We just took on 15 new CEOs. Kept growing and growing and growing. God was using mightily. And it didn't surprise me. You know why? Because Mike is a leader. Even though he has positional authority, he also has great permissional authority because of his character, his competence, and his care for people. This is what happened. A couple years ago, Buck Jacobs, the founder and CEO of C12, decided to retire. And guess who the board unanimously voted as the new CEO of C12? Mike Sherrill. And so Mike, and he's younger than most of the other associate chairs. So imagine like working for your son. He's one of the youngest CEOs working with all these other CEOs that are old enough to be his dad or even his grandfather. And so Mike is a great example of somebody who has discipline for the purpose of godliness, and that character is now seen in his leadership. And I always get envious of Mike, and here's an encouragement, something that husbands can do. Mike said to me one time, he said, and he's got two daughters like us, he said, we have a family mission statement. He says, we got together with the girls, looked at scripture, prayed, and we have a family mission statement that we've printed out and we put on like the major places in our house. So anytime we have a decision to make about school or work or should we spend our money here, we say, but this is our mission as a Sherrill family. So again, encourage you to grow in your character, competence, and your care for people by disciplining yourself for the purpose of godliness. Let's pray. God, I'm grateful for your word. It is bread, it is milk, it is meat. And God, so many of us do the reverse fast. We gorge ourselves on food and yet never feast on your word. God, I pray that if there's a change in our church, I pray that we would fast from physical food and feast on your word, God. And God, as we feast on your word, that you would transform us as we seek to apply your word. I pray that your spirit would give us the divine enablement and power to carry out and obey your word, to be transformed by it. And God, I pray for disciplines of engagement and disciplines of disengagement as well. Engagement like evangelism and sharing Christ, engagement like prayer and study, but also disengagement like solitude and reflection and fasting, God. God, help us to do that. Transform us. Make us more like Christ. Help us to grow in our godliness. But God, I do pray for this body as well. I pray for us to also practice bodily discipline, to work out. God, you've given us stewardship over our physical bodies. It's like you've given us stewardship over time and money. So God, help us to eat a healthy, well-balanced meal and not eat too much. God, you speak often of gluttony. God, gluttony being sin. And God, we also pray that you'd help us to work out as well, to go for a walk or run or lift or do activities that we enjoy, God. Swimming and biking, going for hikes and walks. Help us be good stewards over the bodies you've given us. And we ask it all in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.